And if you just take out your hand out, and if you need a pencil, just slip your hand up and Ryan will get a pencil to you. Thanks. There's a couple at the back there, one over here in the front. Just keep your hand up and we'll get that to you. How are you, Scott? I know you haven't been well. Scott's had a touch of typhoid fever, would you believe? Hasn't been well at all, so we're glad you're here today. In 1967, I was at the Kew Baptist Church in Melbourne. At that time, it was the largest Baptist church in the country. And I noticed, sitting in the front seat of the choir, this really gorgeous looking girl. And in those days, all the women wore big hats. And this girl had a big green hat, and I discovered that her name was Helen. And it wasn't too long before we were hooked up together. And one of the things that I used to love doing with Helen and with other members of our young adults group back at that time was on a Sunday afternoon. You know, we'd had Sunday school in the morning, we'd had church, we'd probably gone out for lunch together, and then, we could just relax and do some things together. And like the guys here, go and play sport and whatnot. Our sport, often, was to go to the Yarra Bank. Now, back in those days, the Yarra Bank was a very special place on a Sunday afternoon. You used to get people from all walks of life. You'd get raving mad communists. You get crazy fundamentalist evangelicals who get there and preach about the second coming. You get other people there preaching about everything. It was the Yarra Bank, and people would go to the Yarra Bank. Did you ever do this, Doreen? And it was a sport. We just listened to people preaching. It was just fantastic. Even there were actually some really sensible, godly evangelists who took advantage of that opportunity to really preach the gospel. And we heard many stories of people coming to know Christ through that. But we loved to stand around these people and interact and throw in our little interjections, and they'd come back and the crowd would laugh and carry on. And one fellow always had a list of contradictions in the Bible. And he'd get this leery grin on his face, these poor, benighted Christians who don't know what they're talking about. You know, I've read this book. And he'd give us all of the standard, tired stuff that's been thrown at you. You know, who was Cain's wife? And all the standard questions that people ask. How could Noah be swallowed by a big fish? And all this sort of thing. And this week I was reading Vernon McGee's commentary on this passage. And He tells the story of a character in his youth who was the town atheist. And he was a free-thinking, leading citizen of the town. And I'll tell his story in his own words. The little town in which I lived as a boy lacked many things. We didn't have street lights. In fact, we didn't have electric lights in our home. And I can remember using the lamp to study by in those days. Our little town didn't have sidewalks, didn't have paved streets, didn't have running water, except that you ran out to the well to get it. We didn't have inside plumbing. We didn't either as a kid. You had to go down the back to relieve yourself. There were many things our town lacked, but we did have a town atheist. He called himself a socialist, and each Sunday, weather permitting, he was down at the street corner on the town square speaking, and generally there were about a dozen listeners who were also loafers. And on my way to Sunday school, I killed as much time as possible. I always stopped to listen to him. And this man, I remember, always ridiculed the Bible and pointed out supposed contradictions. And his favourites were two verses in the sixth chapter of Galatians. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. And then he would read, for every man shall bear his own burden. Galatians 6:5. And he'd read both verses, and then he'd lift his head and he'd leer at the crowd and he'd say, "You see, there are contradictions in the Bible. In one place it says you're to bear one another's burdens, and then it says you're to bear your own burden." Now, McGee says, now none of us knew how to answer him, so we just stood there with our mouths opened and listened. Actually, he said, the answer was very simple, but we didn't know it back in those days. I'd like us to stand and let's read these first five verses of Galatians together. Okay, let's read. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself in case you are tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself and not alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden." Lord Jesus, I pray that your Spirit would come and teach us this morning. And especially, Lord, as we get to the end of the message and we talk about a very, very particular and special burden that every single one of us carries, I pray that you would deliver us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Now this morning, of course, I want to show you that there's absolutely no contradiction between these two verses. In fact, what I want to show is that a proper understanding of these principles is absolutely essential for us modern day Christ followers. And in fact, if we really understand how these verses work, it's going to help us live a very fruitful and integrated and fulfilling and blessed Christian life. How would you like to be a constant blessing to others instead of a constant pain? Well, if you listen up, we might have some answers this morning. The first thing is, let's go to bear one another's burdens in verse 2. Now, there are a number of scriptures where several words are translated by our one English word, burden. And it means that there are actually different kinds of burdens. There are some burdens that we can share, and there are also burdens that we must bear alone and cannot share them with anyone. And I think that that really summarises what would have been for Vernon McGee, back when he was a little boy, a very satisfactory answer to that atheist who tried to show that these two verses were contradictory. All of us have burdens. Not all of us have money. Elena's, no, is it Carrie? $300. She's got more now. We all don't have money, but we all have burdens. And at Southside right now, not all of us have health. But we all have burdens. And this morning in our CTP class, we were talking about the issue of singles in the church. So not all of us have a life partner. But all of us carry burdens. I don't know whether you saw the little doco during the Commonwealth Games, but it really impacted on Helen and myself. And I realised when I watched that doco that not all of us have arms and legs, but all of us have burdens. This little fellow, during the Commonwealth Games, there was a fellow, actually I'll tell that story in a moment. Every human being is different. In fact, we're told that every snowflake is unique, which is hard to believe. But just as every human being is different, and just as every snowflake is different, the fact is we still all have burdens. In fact, recent research has told us that children, tiny little children, carry burdens. On Thursday morning, I was at a breakfast. Dr. Robbie from the Sunshine Coast, who's a world-renowned clinical psychologist and who specialises in dealing with grief in children, especially children who are suffering from exploitation or from natural disasters or war. And he had some incredible things to say to us about the latest search on neurology and what's actually going on in the neurons of our brains and how it relates to development of children in relation to grief. It was absolutely enlightening, something I hadn't really heard about before. So burdens are common to the human family. We all have burdens, but the fact is that not all of us have the same burdens. We have many different burdens. And what Paul is doing in the sixth chapter of Galatians is dividing these burdens into two classes. He's saying there are burdens that we can share, and there are burdens that we cannot share. In Galatians 6:2, the Greek word for burden is baros. It simply means something heavy. Jesus used that word baros when he spoke about the burden and the heat of the day. In Matthew 20, these men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden, or the baros, in the scorching heat of the day. How many of you go to work on a bus? How many take a bus to work? Not so many. We're a vehicle society. How many go on the train? Well, a couple on the train too. But I remember there was a period in my life in Canberra when I went to work on a bus for about 4 or 5 years, and I caught 3 buses from home to work. And how often have you climbed onto a bus carrying your bag, and the bus takes off, and about 10 minutes later you think, oh, I was crazy. I didn't let the bus carry the bag and me. Why would I be on the bus carrying this bag? Let's look at a couple of examples of burdens that we can share. And the first one is found right here in our passage. In the Message version, Peterson says, live creatively, friends. That's why I've called this message creative burden bearing, because we need to think about this in relation to others. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness yourself one day. Wow. So there's a burden. Someone has slipped up. Someone has sinned. And actually the Bible says you can help that person bear their burden. It might be some infirmity. It might be some weakness. It might actually be ignorance. It might be some pressure that the person is facing in their life. It could even be a grief. The fact is that all of us have got faults. And actually that's a burden that we carry. And I don't know about you, but many times I fall over. I fall over again and again and again. And we see our fellow believers, our fellow Christian friends, we see them falling over. And the Bible says, if someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him. Grace. And I think the older I'm getting, I hope God's helping me in this area. I tended to be too critical of other people who sinned when I was younger. But we all have burdens to bear. There's another burden that you and I can share, and that's known as the burden of grief. And this morning, yesterday morning when SP called me, it was only a few seconds on the phone, but I was able to pray with him. And I sense in that way I was able to share his burden, the burden of tragedy that comes with sorrow. And we don't plan these things, even though in the Tay family, Grandma's been sick for a long time and SP's made lots of flights over. And yet when it did come, it sort of came, it's still a shock, it still comes suddenly. The the burden of disappointment. How many of you have got disappointments? I think we all carry disappointments. It's inevitable because we are human. And if you're sitting there saying, well, no, I'm okay, there's no disappointments yet, well, let me just tell you, it's just around the corner. It's coming. It won't be long. And when it does come, you're going to need somebody. You're going to need a friend. You're going to need someone to stand with you. Lots of babies in the church at the moment. You know, the only thing that a baby can do by itself is yell. You think about it. It's the only thing that a baby can do is cry. It can't speak. It can't walk yet. It can't eat. Even the mother has to help it onto the breast or the bottle, whatever it is. To succeed in all of these things, in walking and speaking and feeding, the infant needs another to help it. And all of us need that. So when we come into the world, all we can do is weep. It's amazing, isn't it? The only thing we can do. And from the very beginning of life until the last day of life, we're going to need comfort. Because the reality is we've come into a world of sorrow, a world of sin. So grief is a burden that we can share. In a moment I'm going to talk about that again, because there's another sense in which we cannot share that. There'll be those who come into your life and my life who are in sorrow. And as I said earlier, I don't have all the answers, but what we need to do is just plug people into God. Plug people into Jesus, who is faithful. Okay, let's look at the second part. Every man shall bear his own burden, it says in verse 5. So the Greek word here is different. It's not baros, it's a phortion. And it actually means a load to be borne. So baros was just something heavy. This is a load to be borne. And the Greeks who understood phortion back in their day would have understood it in terms of the cargo in a ship, for example. It would be the load that ship carried. It was also, and it speaks of a baby being born in a woman's womb. Now, we husbands like to scot about the fact that we were there when the baby was born and all that we did to make it come out, but actually there's no way. We don't have any clue about what you ladies go through when you carry that little baby for 9 months in your womb, and that's something that only you can do. Let every person bear his own burden. It's impossible, Vinay, he's laughing there, it's impossible for you to bear what your wife is going through at the moment. Can't do it. And Phillips has an interesting paraphrase of Galatians 6:5. He says, for every man must shoulder his own pack. In other words, there are burdens today that you and I cannot share. And brothers and sisters, I want you to really get hold of this. I want you to understand this. Having been a pastor all these years, I've seen that many, many people in the church have never understood this. They want the pastor and his wife, or they want some of their friends or someone else to bear a burden that actually God only wants you to bear. If I literally, the last few weeks, I think I've told you, it's been very heavy. We've had more pastoral involvement in the last few months, I think, than our whole ministry. And I want to tell you, if I took all the burdens that I know about and I bore them myself, I'd crack up. I wouldn't sleep at night. Bob Henry, the founder of the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Australia, veteran missionary to Vietnam, expert in language, told us in our pastoral theology class, when I was just a young, green, wet-behind-the-ears fellow, how at 22 years of age he took his wife up into northern Canada for their first little CMA church. It was snow, and he said after 9 months I wasn't sleeping at night, and he said one night I was just 3 o'clock in the morning, and he said I got out of bed and I remembered that verse that says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. And he said, I was carrying the burden of that mother who just rung to say that her daughter had got pregnant, and I was carrying the burden of that family where someone was dying of cancer, and I couldn't sleep. And he said, I got out of bed and I got hold of that big load and I literally hurled it at the Lord, because that's what that verse means. It means hurl your burden on the Lord. And he said, I got back into bed and I slept like a baby. And he instructed us as young prospective pastors, you cannot carry the burdens of all your people yourself. Every one of us in a sense is totally isolated. Even those of us who are married and have children, we are isolated, we are separated, we are segregated, we are quarantined in some senses from every other human being in the earth. Even though God created us for relationships. And the reality is that there are certain burdens that you and I will have to bear absolutely alone. Let me just mention a few of them this morning. I talked about that doco that we watched in from Cambodia. The little land that has suffered so dramatically. And one of the issues is personal landmines. So many children in that land, and men and women who are getting around today without a limb because they stepped on one of those lethal weapons, actually designed to destroy and maim human beings. But one man, one Cambodian man, has set up a factory to make prosthetic legs. They're really crude. They're not that well made. I mean, if some prosthetic expert from Brisbane went to see this factory, he'd die with his feet in the air. But, you know, I was looking at this and thinking about this, what we're talking about this morning, however much the owner of that factory has shared the burden of the limbless man, and even with these crude legs, when you saw the smile on the face of these people who could walk for the first time, just did your heart good. But however much that factory man, the man who made the prosthetic leg, has shared the burden of the limbless man, forever that limbless man will have to carry his own burden. No one else can actually carry it for him. No one else can, in the final analysis, share that suffering. He has to suffer alone. And all of us have certain problems. It might be some physical thing that comes to you. And we can empathise with you, but we can never really get inside you and share that burden that you must carry alone. We're going to get sick, and no one else can take your place. I'll never forget how frightened Helen and I were the day our 18-month-old Cameron took snail bait. And I'd raced him to the emergency at Roden Valley Hospital in Canberra. His life was in mortal danger. And I would have gladly taken the snail bait into my own stomach if little Cameron could only live. But I couldn't do it. He'd already taken it. He'd ingested it. And he had to bear his own burden. As much as the doctors did everything to help. Well, thank God he survived. A wonderful, wonderful answer to prayer. But I'll never forget those feelings of total helplessness. I couldn't bear my little son's burden for him. And I'd never experienced anything like that until that time, and I really never want to again. I just couldn't help him. He had to suffer alone. So you can't get someone else to substitute for you. Suffering is actually a burden that we have to bear alone. There's another burden we'll talk quickly about, and that's the burden of death. You know, you can't share the burden of death. You can't share your burden of death with another person. It's going to come to every one of us. If Jesus doesn't come first, we will walk through that valley of the shadow of death. As my mum said when she was dying, it's only a shadow. Thomas Hobbes was an agnostic all his life. A brilliant man, and he came to the end of life at his death and he says, "I'm taking a fearful leap into the dark." And then he cried out, "Oh God, it's so lonely." Now this brilliant man had contributed to the whole world, and that's all he could say at his deathbed. And I've got a whole string of others. Ravi Zacharias has a string of deathbed statements of men who were agnostics and atheists all their lives. It's amazing how godly they get towards the end. So death is a burden that we'll have to bear alone. There's another burden I'd just like to talk about quickly, because for those of us who are Christ followers, this is very important. This is called the Bema burden. B-E-M-A. The Bema is the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. Now this is not for the unsaved. There's another judgment for them that is absolutely fearful. But there is a judgment for those of us who are Christians. We're not talking about the great white throne judgment in Revelation 20. That's for the unsaved. That's the fearful one. That's when the goats will be divided from the sheep. But the Bema judgment is this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, Bema, so that each one may be recompensed for the deeds in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. So everything that you and I have done in the flesh as a Christian is going to be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and we are going to receive a reward. Or not. I don't understand it fully. It's got nothing to do with salvation. I'm saved. But there is a judgment for the works that we have done, not for our salvation, but once we came to Christ in serving Him. And I'll remember my theology professor, he said, "I don't understand this, but I just know enough about God and how good He is and how gracious He is and how wonderful He is." And he says, "I'm working hard all my life to get every crown there is in glory." I've never forgotten that. The works of the believer are going to be judged at the Bema seat. Romans 14:12. So every one of us will give account of himself to God. So the question is, how have you lived since you became a Christ follower? Peterson, again in the Message version, puts it this way. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your life. I like that. In Galatians 6:5. So your life as a Christ follower, as a child of God, in a sense, is a burden that you carry. And one day you're going to have to bring that before the Lord Jesus at the Bema judgment seat. So as a child of God, you have a responsibility to discover and develop and use the spiritual gift that God gave you when you came to Christ. And every one of you, when you came to Christ, God gave you a spiritual gift. You need to develop that and use it. That's why many of you have heard me ask you the question, looking you deeply in the eyes, do you know what your spiritual gift is? This is one of the reasons I'm a pastor. It's something that thrills me when I wake up every morning. What can I do today to encourage someone else, some Christ follower, to discover their spiritual gift and begin to live in that? Because one day they are going to be answerable to God. And I have a responsibility. We leaders of the church have a responsibility to help everyone in this room not only discover their spiritual gift, but to live in the joy of it and bless others. And then one day hear Jesus say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen. I'm looking forward to that. So that's a burden that's yours and yours alone. And to whom you will give an account is none else than the King of Glory. We're going to share one final burden. And I just want to welcome our Hmong friends again upstairs there as you're listening towards the end of the message. I just praise God for the many of you who've come just recently. And I know that God is really working in the hearts of many of our Hmong people at the moment. The final burden that I want to talk about this morning is the burden of sin. King David said in the Psalms, "My guilt has overwhelmed me. It is more than I can bear. It is like a heavy load." So my friends, I want to say to you this morning, sin is a burden you cannot share with anyone else. Sin is a burden that only you will bear. David said, "My sins are so heavy, I am almost crushed." And guilt is the load that every single human being carries. Not only because we are children of Adam, and also we've learnt through the book of Galatians, we are children of Abraham. But not just because Adam was the first with Eve, his wife, to sin, but because I have sinned also, and you have sinned also. And we carry that burden because each of one of us has personally broken God's law, and therefore we are under his condemnation. We are under his judgment. So if you feel that intolerable, crushing burden of sin this morning, I want to tell you why you feel it. The only reason you feel it is because the Holy Spirit is convicting you this morning. And I want to say you should be glad. Oh, you should be glad. If you feel that crushing load of sin in your heart this morning, don't despair. Be glad. Because there's an answer. Why do I say you should be glad? Because, my friend, this morning I want to tell you there is only one place that you can get rid of that burden, and that is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, come to me and I will give you rest." Let me say this clearly. Jesus is the only one who can lift that heavy burden of sin from your life, because he paid the penalty for your sin when he died on the cross. He alone has earned the right, the only person in the whole universe who can lift that burden of sin from you. And he can take it from you this morning. I'll never forget that sense of relief that swept over my whole being on the 13th of August 1957, when as a 12-year-old kid, I asked Jesus to take the burden of my sin. I remember it with relish as though it was yesterday. As I'm telling you this morning, that load was lifted. I was free. The burden of sin was gone and I was forgiven. I was a child of God. And God wants to do that for you this morning. Those of you who are upstairs listening to me, God wants to lift that heavy burden of sin from you this morning. My question is, what are you going to do with your burden? Let's go to the final slide. Now this morning I've depicted three crosses. You know that when Jesus died, he died with two sinful men who hung on the crosses beside him. And if you look at the one on the left, you can say that his sin was not only on him, but his sin was in him. And if you look, can we just press the next button? And because his sin was on him and in him, we know that when he died, he was lost eternally. But there was another man on the other side, and he cried out to Jesus. And what did Jesus say to this man when he cried out, "Have mercy on me"? He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now this was a man who also had sin on him and in him. But at that moment when he cries out to Jesus, the sin was no longer on him. And the one in the middle, he didn't have sin in him, but on the cross he had sin on him. And that day, he not only took the sin of the man who confessed, But he took your sin and my sin, the sin of every single human being who would ever be born, was born. That burden of sin was born on Jesus. That burden that you cannot bear. If you attempt to bear that burden of sin yourself, like the man on the other side, you will be lost forever, because that will be a crushing load that will take you down separated from God. But you don't have to be like that. Through faith this morning, you can cry out to Jesus and say, take my burden of sin, Lord Jesus, and gladly he'll take it from you this morning, and you will experience his forgiveness. This is the wonder of it all. So today, your burden is either on you and in you, or by faith you have received the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, and your burden is on him. It can't be in two places at the same time. Your sin is either on you and in you, or it's on Christ. Christ doesn't just share this burden with you. He takes it from you and he bears it completely. In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 we read, Christ carried the burden of our sins. He was nailed to the cross so that we would stop sinning and start living right. By his cuts and bruises you are healed. All of us are like sheep, Isaiah says. We've gone astray. We've turned every one of us to our own way. But God has laid on him, Jesus, the burden and the sin of us all. Would you lay your burden of sin on Jesus this morning? I'm going to ask us to bow our heads in prayer, and I'd ask you and invite you to follow me quietly in your own mind. Pray a prayer where this morning you transfer that burden of sin from yourself to the Lord Jesus and receive his forgiveness. You can do that this morning. Let's pray together. Just pray quietly with me, just under your breath. I've realized this morning that I am a sinful person. I've realized that I'm carrying a load of sin that is too heavy for me to bear. And I have understood this morning that when Jesus died on the cross, he bore the burden of my sin in his own body. Lord Jesus, I don't understand it all. But as much as I know this morning, I gladly give you the burden of my sin. Please take my sin, and I receive your forgiveness. I thank you for the gift of eternal life. Please help me to live for you from this day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, either upstairs or down here, if you have prayed that prayer in your heart this morning, I'm going to be with Derek and Philip. And if anyone else would like to come, we're going to be in the room outside here. Please come and share with us. We'd like to pray with you. And we want to introduce you to some Bible study that will help you begin to grow in your Christian life. John, come and lead us, please.
We stand together. Am I trying to sing God is good once more? God
God is good. When I say that, you've got to say all the time. God is good. All the time. Amen. Do you believe it? It's true. God is good. Heavenly Father, we praise you that you understand how weak we human beings really are. You understand how